is the New York State AFERD podcast entitled A through Z Health and PE. We are your co-hosts, Drs. C and C, the true Pan-American connection. I am Clancy Seymour, and my tag team partner is the one and only Dr. Victor Ramsey.
Details highlighting our episodes, guests, contact information, publications, and other useful resources will always be included in the podcast show notes. For more information about New York State AFERD, please visit newyorkstateaferd.org or Facebook and social media handles at New York State AFERD. Let's embrace the journey, and now, on to our show.
Greetings, listeners. I'm Dr. Clancy Seymour, and my co-host, Dr. Victor Ramsey, will be joining us shortly. Welcome to Episode 7 of the New York State AFERD A through Z Health and PE Podcast. In this series of episodes, we've invited graduate students from my summer capstone and contemporary issues in physical education classes at Canisius College. Students in this combined course are graduate teacher candidates on the verge of student teaching, aspiring physical educators, or newly inducted teachers into the professions themselves. We've asked students to review journal articles ahead of time to discuss accordingly. The articles we'll be chatting about today address social justice and educational policy issues in New York State. Okay, folks, so we all had the chance to read the articles regarding Common Core integration and social justice in PE. For our graduate students, please share your thoughts for our listeners. Please also briefly mention where you are in your journeys. Are you a teacher candidate near student teaching, an aspiring HPE professional, perhaps a newly minted teacher, or a veteran KG teacher, a KG veteran teacher of 25 plus years? Welcome, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say.
All righty. So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Justin Stark. I'm from Long Island, New York. I'm a special ed teacher, but aspiring to be a physical education teacher. The article that I'm going to focus on today is the Common Core Standards Integrated Within Physical Education. So in 2009, when they adopted these standards, they did not include the physical education initiative within it. But as, you know, years went on, they're starting to look forward to adding, you know, physical education teachers teaching the ELA curriculum within their pedagogy. The issue with that, though, is that a lot of physical education teachers are not suited yet to teach ELA standards or are not completely integrated with the curriculum. And that is becoming a major issue that educators need to work on. So when we were reviewing the article, we noticed that a lot of physical education teachers are actually more harsh on the students in terms of grading and all the work that they're doing than the actual non-physical education teachers. And because of this, there's a huge disparity between whether or not this is effective and how we can actually make this work in a good setting. And it's believed that our physical education teachers need to be studying more and have more, professional development suited to them to help them make this a success. Because right now our physical education teachers, where they're, you know, being completely harsh to students and, you know, downgrading a lot of their work, it might be because of the nature of their work, where phys ed is more, you know, physical, strenuous job where, you know, teachers are harsh and stuff like that. And so you think like football and other sports where, you know, everything's, you know, ground and pound, you know, and type of stuff. So that might be part of it. But I do believe a lot of teachers need to, you know, get that training to better suit their students. And I would be glad to hear what everyone else has to say on that topic as well.
Hey, so my name is Darnell Phillips. I am a graduate student at Canisius College, and I am the capstone class, and I am one semester away from doing student teaching. So to add on to what Justin said, the article, the study that the article talks about, it shows that PE teachers have little to no experience grading ELA literacy assignments. So it is a cause for concern if they're being held accountable for content they don't directly teach. As Justin said, more professional development is needed for PE teachers to have more valid and reliable assessments when it comes to incorporating ELA literacy into their lessons.
I'll jump in here, Darnell. One thing at the beginning of the article that I also read was said, well, the Common Core Standards encourages ELA in mathematics. It only expects that physical educator. Oh, sorry. My name is John Kling. I'm also a Canisius. I'm in the Capstone program. But it says it expects that physical educators only support ELA learning. It doesn't say that they necessarily expect them to support math as well, which I thought was interesting. Being a physical educator, you're working with, you know, numbers all the time, whether it be, you know, counting off kids or just scoring games in general. So I thought it was interesting that we didn't have to use mathematics. However, ELA was a necessity.
Hey, John, I can totally jump in on that too. My name is Gabby Morrow. I'm currently a third grade teacher in Williamsville, but in my master's at Canisius. So for me specifically, I can totally relate to this because I'm currently teaching a non-physical education course. And I actually see a lot of overlap all the time. For me personally, I have a very fun, bubbly, open, energetic style of teaching. So I tend to incorporate a lot of physical education aspects into my classroom. So for example, just something fun that I did this year, we were working on multiplication in third grade and I had all my kids stand up and I said, all right, everyone, 3 times 5, whatever the product is, I want you to do that number of jumping jacks. So that was just something to get the kids going. But I feel when I do hopefully jump into a physical education job, I think it's going to be important that I already had that background, whether it's English or to your point, I think math is just as important as really having a ELA curriculum background as well.
I think that's awesome, Gabby. And the reason I think that's awesome is because I think that more subjects should include physical education, like how Common Core, they want you to incorporate math in ELA. I would almost argue that other subjects should be integrating physical education. I did a paper either last semester, I think it was last semester, where it actually talked about, and they've proven that kids tend to score better, they tend to do better in other classes if they get some sort of physical activity done right prior to class. So I think that's awesome that you're even incorporating that now in third grade and starting them so young.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
I'll just add on to that too. My name is Kevin Fitzgerald. I'm in my capstone at Canisius and going to student teach in the fall. And just bouncing off of that, I think the problem with that is, as you know, it switches the focus too much on the cognitive as a PE teacher rather than focusing mainly on the psychomotor domain, which we want to do in a PE class.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Michael Miller. I've been teaching 25 years in New York City. And I thought the article was really interesting. And one of the things I think is, as you go along on your PE journey, is it's mind-blowing how much is put on your plate. There just seems like there's so many different things that, you know, between the standards and the pressure you get from administration, from parents and stuff like that. And the one of the things I really took from this article was the quote where it said that the ELA literacy devaluates the relationship between the body and the mind, scampering to comply with these additional mandates. I think it's essential as you go through this journey, which is just an incredible journey, that you that you have the training in this and the professional development piece of this, I think cannot be underscored. It can't be underestimated enough. It's essential that if you are going to have this put on your plate, that you have the proper tools, the proper training from people who are expecting you to have this ELA additional thing put on you, which is going to be it's going to be pretty challenging.
Nice to hear that, Michael. My name is Derek Eisler. I'm also finishing up my my master's degree here at Canisius College in physical education, currently a second career. So definitely looking forward to finishing off strong here. When I was reading the article, the one thing that came to mind, and as we learned about previously at Canisius, was how physical education has transformed and changed over time. We see instances of poor PE practices that have marginalized the profession overall. You know, games such as dodgeball or cat and mouse, things of this nature. When I think about Common Core and implementing different aspects of, you know, English language or different subject matters into physical education, I often have to wonder, what is the perfect marriage between the quote unquote common subject like your science, social studies, math, and physical education? And how can we marry those two topics together to have a fundamentally not progressive, but that, in, you know, a subject that incorporates good academic foundations with also a classroom that instills positive fitness and health and long-term values of fitness in our students. And what I was seeing is we're constantly putting physical educators in difficult positions to not only manage positive lessons, but also prioritizing things like childhood obesity, which we'll talk about later, but shaping our movers into long-term advocates of healthy lifestyles. So I was just kind of thinking about, where are we today with physical education? Where will we be to tomorrow with physical education, especially when we have so much intervention from different subjects within schools?
Great point there, Derek. You know, the idea with me is that interdisciplinary, you know, education is great. Interdiscipline, I should say, is great. But when it comes to physical education, I feel like many students are going to lose a lot of interest in phys ed if you start implementing like projects and other ELA based, you know, efforts into that. Because to me, especially when I was in phys ed, I remember, you know, I loved it for, you know, getting out, enjoying myself and having a break from like the homework and the projects and being able to learn about, you know, how to run, have a healthy lifestyle and what to do and how I can, you know, do all these push-ups and jumping jacks, whatever it may be. And I feel like once you start implementing, you know, projects and, you know, all these, you know, videotapes, if they want like portfolios and stuff like that, I feel like it's going to sway kids away from the idea of physical education and make them feel less comfortable. And I just don't know if that is a great idea, as much as it might sound like it. I just don't know how feasible it may be.
I think a lot of that also has to do based on what your how your relationship is with your administration. You know, a lot of, you know, if you have an administration that is very supportive of what you are doing and they respect our profession and they take it seriously, then that certainly does help. I think if that is not the case, I think it's essential that we advocate for it. I think a lot of times that through my career, I've had some admin that has been incredibly supportive of what I've done, that respects it. And then, you know, currently that is not the case. And, you know, I feel like I'm constantly having to overly prove myself and, you know, going to some of the classroom teachers to see how can I integrate my program with what you're doing as well. Sometimes we'll even meet with fellow clusters where we're talking, how could we incorporate science or social studies or art into the PE curriculum as well, and how we can help to support them as well. So I think it's, you know, it's a little bit of a lot of it depends also on, you know, what is your relationship with admin and how do they respect our field?
I think that's a great point, Michael. I actually have a question for you. When you say that you have gone, you know, to the other subject matter teachers, this goes back to saying, you know, how physical educators, you know, a lot, you said earlier, a lot is thrown on our plates. Have any of those other subject matters come to you and tried to integrate physical education as well?
Wouldn't that be nice? I think it's more of the clusters that kind of band together to, you know, do professional development together. The respect that we share, I've always shared with my fellow clusters. It's been mostly that way, not like classroom teachers coming to me throughout my career. And I've got phenomenal relationships with 90 something percent of the teachers, like I'm sure everybody else here does. They have not really come to me how I can support them in PE, or if they have, I can't recall. I think I might've taken one too many shots to the head playing rugby and hockey, so I don't remember as much. I certainly do go to them, and that is not for any other reason, because you know, I care about the kids and I want people to know how serious PE should be in school. To me, it's the most important. What could be more important than teaching a child about what to do to make their heart and their body healthier and stronger? I don't know yet.
Awesome. And the reason that I actually asked you that was going back to Justin's point, where you said that, you know, you're nervous that a lot of kids would lose interest in physical education if you made a lot of it about, you know, ELA or math. And I think that the more that we can integrate it without forcing, you know, forcing kids to write an essay, forcing kids to do a project, the more that we can, you know, I bring up, you know, going on a nature walk and, you know, cataloging different, you know, flowers or plants that you find. That's absolutely incorporating, you know, physical education in science class. And I think that the more you can integrate physical education with these other subjects, the less likely kids are going to even realize that they're doing these other subjects while they're outside and having fun. So I think that's a pretty vital, I think that's pretty important.
Michael, you got to come over to my school because I'll happily be the general education teacher that comes to you and asks how I can integrate physical education into my class. But to go off of that, we actually just hired a new physical education teacher over at our elementary school, and he's around the same age as me. So we actually have sat down a few times and kind of collaborated and talked about different things that he does during the day. And just to give an example, if they're playing like a game in gym and he tells me about it, I'll bring it up during class. Like if they're about to do a free write or something, I'll say like, what did you do in gym class today? And try to, almost as going off what John said, like incorporate it without the students even realizing that that is what we're doing. So like I said, come on over to my school and we can talk.
I haven't been to Buffalo since I graduated from UB back in the 80s, before I'm sure many of you were born, but which I would love to do because it was just the nicest people ever up in Buffalo. And I certainly do miss it. But I think it's great that you collaborate and that you take, you know, you're almost like you're reinforcing what they're learning. And you're also, not only are you, is it really, I think, great for your colleagues to see that, but it's so awesome, I think, for the children to know, hey, listen, we're not going to gym, we're going to a class just like what you do in third grade and just like what they do in their other classes. And it's essential that that they take it seriously. And the, you know, the impressions that you leave with these kids that become adults, and then they come back and they tell you, you know, to me, there's no better compliment than, you know, I've been teaching elementary, and when they come to me, they're like, wow, your class was so much harder than high school and middle school. I'm like, that's pretty sad. You know, it's not the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, you get rich in a lot of different ways in this class. Not certainly not financially, but you certainly do other ways. So, you know, I take it serious. And I think it's awesome, Gabby, that you work that way with a PE teacher, that hopefully you'll have their job pretty soon.
So I'm going to jump in. I'm Aubrey. I'm a master's student at Canisius right now. I think I had a different experience, like doing my master's and growing up K through 12, because reading the article that math and English weren't really incorporated into it, I feel like that's all I did when I was younger. We were always counting. We were always reading words off the wall. And going into my bachelor's, I was shown every way to do that, to add, making sure we had the math and the English into the classes, and then taking it to my student teaching and adding it to those schools. When Justin said that you don't want to push kids away, I think that some of the kids that don't like PE as much will really enjoy the aspect of getting to write about sports, even if they're not as athletic, or the more artistic kids that can do a PowerPoint based on a certain skill that they're doing or a project that they're working on from PE. And so, yeah, the schools that I've been at have always added those. So I was kind of shocked with how much schools weren't doing it.
Well said, Aubrey. Some excellent points so far from our panel. Well done. So a couple things that I want to prompt all of you with to consider, and, you know, shameless plug for myself and my co-researchers with this article that we're reviewing now. And in our previous episode, we also review another study that I conducted regarding the Common Core and its integration in physical education. So some key points were brought up that I want to ask you about, and that is back to kind of some of our guests' discussion about integration. The literature suggests a multidisciplinary approach in physical education is not a new concept. The idea of asking physical educators to provide an interdisciplinary experience in their classroom is not a new idea. It's been around for quite some time. The difference being in this case is asking physical education teachers to integrate Common Core standards to do what? And better yet, the literature in terms of physical educators who have been innovative and have taken on an interdisciplinary approach have often integrated what subject or subjects? Mathematics, science, kind of what like John was talking about, taking students out on a walk and logging and reflecting and from a more ecological standpoint. But yet this policy is asking physical educators to integrate ELA. So what does that tell us about the policy? What does that tell us about the intent? And last but not least, Michael, hockey and rugby, a man after my heart, the same sports that I endeavor to try and still play at my age as well.
I think it's asking us to become more all-inclusive. As PE teachers, I think we're in an ideal place to, you know, integrate psychomotor, affective, and cognitive domain. And that, I think, really the affective aspect of physical education, serves as the medium between the social policy and, you know, it moves things, you know, emotion, will move things. And I think that's really important to consider. And it's making education more holistic and real. So, yeah.
Something I noticed, you know, once kind of pointing out what Dr. Seymour said is there is about 3.4 million individuals in the United States that are illiterate and that read or function below a fifth grade level in terms of ELA. And so I think that the implementation of ELA above the other subjects is because of this, lack of support that a lot of individuals have and not being able to understand, you know, how to proficiently read and write and participate in other ELA, you know, matters. And I think that, you know, might be the reasoning that they're focusing much on ELA among other strict areas.
I 100% agree with Justin. I believe that's why they are trying to incorporate ELA into physical education. And I don't know if I may be taking it a little too far, but I kind of look at it in the context of, hey, you guys teach PE, you guys teach gym. How about you help us do this? Because, you know, what you're doing isn't really that important. So why don't you do this for us? But I don't know if I'm reading too much into it.
I don't think you are, Darnell, whatsoever. I mean, how many times will you hear over the course of your career a classroom teacher say, well, my kid's not behaving in class, so they're going to sit out of PE? Are you kidding me? No chance, no way, not ever. Okay. You know, this is, they didn't behave in PE, let them sit out of your fourth grade reading class, you know? So I agree with you. I think it's got to be taken, you know, you got to advocate for yourself.
Michael, well played, Darnell. Exactly. What is the intent of the Common Core State Standards Initiative when it comes to physical education in New York State? Is it an ecological, sociological perspective to provide, as Elizabeth brought up, a holistic experience that endeavors to include physical education and other disciplines together to learn from an ecological or sociological standpoint? Or is it to achieve something else? And if it is, what is the something else?
I would say kind of both in a way, but I would definitely say it has a lot to do with society. I feel like society holds a lot of people to a certain level, especially in the school system. I know where I currently teach, they pretty much, you know, want us to make sure we pass every student because they want to see the numbers, you know, and they want to make sure that everybody is at a certain level and not lower, you know, that they're all either at state standard or above. And so I feel like that's why they constantly are pushing, because they want to make sure, they want to see society as a whole be successful and not fall down on the totem pole. And I feel like if they don't implement these subject areas within, you know, different, you know, PE classes or any other class, then students might not get enough, you know, knowledge that they might need to be successful in the real world. Because in, you know, any subject, any career, realistically, you need to know how to talk and write. You know, you might not need to do trigonometry in, you know, any other class. So math, while it is important, it's not at the top, I feel, for a lot of these individuals, because society says we need to know how to speak and we need to know how to write to be successful. No one's going to hire you if you have a poor resume. So I feel like, you know, having that knowledge to be successful is key.
Great point, Justin. I'm going to piggyback off what you just said. My name is Essence Casey, and I am a graduate student of Canisius College. So as far as, like, you know, like, society wanting everyone to be equal, even as somebody else had said, I think it was Aubrey, she had said how, you know, they could be putting in the ELA practice because some kids aren't as athletic. So say some kids are doing really, really well within their gym class, then other kids aren't because they're not the most athletic, but they are good writers and really good with, like, writing essays and stuff. Like, that could be a way to kind of equal out the grading, the grades from one student.
Yeah, I know a lot of kids that aren't super athletic, but they love sports. So when they get an assignment of, oh, what's the history behind soccer or the history behind football or even the history of a sport from a different country that we might not even play here, they really get into it because they love sports. They just might not be as good at them.
I agree, Aubrey. My name is Ray Lucarelli, and I'm in the master's program at Canisius with one semester left. I think that all comes back to the fact of choice. And in PE, you really got to incorporate a lot of choice. I think it benefits all the students at different levels. Like you said earlier, you can have a student do a poster on a sport, or if they like writing, write a paper or a project. You got to incorporate different choices. And I think that goes back with the ELA to incorporate it in some sort of way that benefits all the students. And kind of what John said earlier, I actually took a class at Canisius two semesters ago where we went on a nature walk, and the professor pointed out different ways while you're on the nature walk with students to incorporate science, math, or even it was a historical nature walk and you can incorporate social studies. So I think that really, like, was a prime example that I was incorporated with that gave me ideas that the students didn't know they were incorporating those different subjects at the same time being active in PE class.
Good points, Riley. I just wanted to hop in real quick and just kind of pat physical education on the back a bit. ELA, while maybe attempting to bolster the numbers, as we've discussed a little bit, I think what we do extremely well, I know we've talked about it in assessment in PE, we can assess in three different ways. We have the three different domains, psychomotor, cognitive, affective. I think in conjunction, obviously we spoke about interdisciplinary subjects. I think with UDL principles, with phys ed, showing different ways that we can demonstrate learning concepts, I think the marriage between English language and in through and about movement, I think it provides a fantastic opportunity to show a bunch of different types of movers how to learn through similar concepts, through new concepts, and through concepts that they're still discovering. So I think physical education, while maybe being used as an additional period to brush up on some of those skills, offers a lot of value for those students to learn those concepts as well, not only helping out the school and the district, but also helping out that learner as well.
Also, standardized testing, like, helps the field of PE gain credibility amongst the other subject fields. Because if we're including all the domains and providing numbers to, you know, those above us, like, we can kind of prove, not that we have to, but we kind of do, you know, that we are, like, a useful and valuable subject.
That's a great point. And I know it sort of touches on what I mentioned before. We've been fighting a battle for our subject through the last couple of decades of finding our identity again. You know, in the past, we had a lot of people who felt marginalized in physical education. And as a result, they victimized it. They say this is a waste of time. This is a waste of money, a waste of effort. It has no place in school. So I think in that being said, we are still trying to prove what physical education looks like in 2021 and what it's going to look like in 2030. And it's going to bypass administration changes, because hopefully the new academic foundations that we're going to implement in the subject as a whole is going to be physical education is physical education, no matter who's in charge. And it's going to be, this is the value that we have as physical educators, and this is what we have to offer.
Well said, everybody. So to just wrap up this first article, we've asked the question about the Common Core standards and integrating Common Core. And for that matter, in this article, perhaps thinking about how physical educators might assess and support ELA learning. In, again, the previous episode, we talked about how asking PE teachers to integrate Common Core concepts may affect physical activity rates. How does this provide a fly in the ointment, so to speak? If it's possible that integrating Common Core may affect physical activity rates, and we think about the value of integrating Common Core to help with standardized test scores, how might there be tension between those two premises? Anyone?
So I believe the point you are making is, if we focus on ELA, for example, and we try to incorporate more essays or projects or things of that nature, it does take away from physical activity time, which is one of the main reasons we have physical education classes. I don't know. I feel like that's a really tough question and a difficult thing to get at, because there's no like standard blueprint for, hey, if we're going to incorporate this, this is how you do it. I feel like, as Michael alluded to earlier, it's kind of what your administration wants and what they kind of delegate you to do. So I feel like it's a real difficult question. And I feel like it has to be taken on a case-by-case basis, depending on what school you work at and what Common Core subjects they want you to focus on.
Thank you, Darnell. Well said, well contemplated as well. And you're right there, exactly what I was thinking. If we're asked to support ELA to potentially be a contributor to improve standardized test scores, okay, something to think about. Does that change the goals of phys ed? I would argue it does, but that's a different conversation for a different podcast. Stay tuned. But nevertheless, if we ask PE teachers to integrate Common Core standards into their teaching, and we can be open to the idea that that might affect physical activity rates, what does the research say about physical activity and academic performance?
They have they're completely interrelated, I guess. So physical education promotes like higher cognitive functioning and better behavior, stuff like that.
I think that if you're more physically active, there's a good chance that your grades will be better, because you're like, you have all that energy and more oxygen going to your brain, so you can get more accomplished. Like, I know if I do something active, there's a better chance of me accomplishing assignments than not doing anything all day.
Great point, Aubrey. To kind of piggyback off what you said, past research I've done on the, this topic and focusing on obesity in schools, it also enhances confidence levels, when students are in better academic physical shape, and they really, they're more confident in themselves, they want to show up to school, they want to do well, they want to participate in phys ed, they want to participate in other subjects, and it ultimately leads to, better grades. And students who go through obesity, they don't always want to show up to school, they might not feel comfortable in their own shoes, they're subject to other things in school that might make their grades diminish and not, do as well as they want to, I should say. And so I definitely think that, between physical education and, teaching these students to live healthy lifestyles, it can really change their overall grades for all their subjects, not just one. So I definitely think that that's a major benefit.
Well done, Justin. Darnell, Aubrey, that's the tension. If we ask PE teachers to integrate Common Core standards, ELA integration, however we want to look at it, but we also acknowledge that exercising, movement, physical activity may positively influence academic performance. The children sit in their chairs for other subjects, but now we're asking them to sit in their chairs in physical education. And by doing so, we want to integrate Common Core to do what? To support ELA learning, to eventually do what? Improve standardized test scores. But yet, taking away the physical activity could pose as a problem and work actually against that goal. Does that make sense to everybody? So it's an interesting proposition, something to certainly think about. So Justin segues nicely into the second article where we talk about social justice implications in physical education. Who wants to tackle some of the themes from our second article?
I'd like to, because it's something I believe I've experienced myself. So the second article talks about weight bias in physical education and how some teachers or instructors may have lower expectations for students who are overweight when performing certain activities. And it's a little difficult. I understand that some teachers, I guess, try to be compassionate or try to help a student by, like, they don't want them to overexert themselves because they seem like they're a little bit overweight or they may not be able to perform something properly. And it does kind of lead to a lot. It does lead to lower standards because you're already prejudging somebody before they do it. And it's tough. It's tough. It's something I believe I've experienced in PE class until I've proven them wrong. And they're like, oh, wow, I didn't know you could do that. I'm like, could have gave me a chance. But I feel like it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to talk about.
Thank you for sharing, Darnell. Kind of hop on like what you said, you know, I used to be a very heavy child myself before I turned to like phys ed and fitness and nutrition. And, you know, I'm 6'4", so everybody used to be like, oh, you run fast for a big guy. And like that stereotype drives me crazy. Just because someone might be bigger in size doesn't mean that they can't, you know, move quick. Offensive linemen are some of the quickest moving people in terms of moving their feet and stuff like that. And, you know, I remember I was watching The Blind Side and I always think about Michael Orr. And when I see that movie and see how quickly he moves and his frame, he's huge and like huge in a good way, like muscular, tall. And, you know, people just, they come up with their own stereotypes where it makes they think that just because you're big, you can't do this. And then everybody thinks that. And so I think that the idea of obesity, where society doesn't make it easy for us, you go drive past any Chick-fil-A, there's a 2-hour line. Like, you know, it's just like that's what society has driven us to believe. And, you know, many individuals deal with obesity because it's just so convenient to go get that McNugget at McDonald's or whatever you might want. And, you know, we don't really focus in so much on healthy living eating styles as well as physical education. You know, I think that they should also implement more nutrition-based courses within phys ed or within a school setting, I should say, to help individuals, you know, get into better shape, feel better about themselves, to help eliminate these stereotypes overall.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in now because I am so unbelievably passionate about what you guys are talking about. I think probably 50 to 60% of my Canisius papers have had something to do with childhood obesity or certainly a mention of it. It's like, I don't even know where to begin with this one, but I guess what I will do is talk about a little bit about the, I guess like practicing what we preach. You know, I was on the other, as a kid, I was on the other end being super, super thin and being unbelievably self-conscious about it and trying to do something about it, you know, getting teased and picked on and stuff like that. And, you know, and then finally, you know, you get to a point where, you know, it's either just like put up or shut up. And, you know, when I see some of these children that come into my gym and, you know, you see what their struggles are, and it's not even just their physical struggles, it's the mental struggle as well. You know, being aware of it, being cognizant and showing empathy, you know, and doing what you can to put yourself in that child's shoes and reaching out. I think that's one of those things that it can't be underestimated either. It's like, you know, reaching out to the children, reaching out to the parents, providing them with information about what is going on in your community, maybe after school, You know, what are ways that you can help them? What are they, you know, just showing how much you genuinely care about that individual. And Darnell's talking about what he experienced as a child as well. I think about the thousands of kids that I've talked to and, you know, that I've taught. And there's so many of the kids who have struggled in certain ways. Justin talks about eating healthy as well, too. I also teach a class after school in healthy cooking, because I am also a chef and I'm in the restaurant business. And I use that experience to teach kids about making good food, food that tastes good, that is also healthy, and trying to help parents with organizing diets for their, it goes on and on and on. And, it's learning about the children as well too. You know, maybe there is a reason why that child is struggling, and maybe there's a reason what's going on at home, why the kid, why that child is, in the 98 percentile when you're weighing them for fitness gram. You're watching them struggle during the pacer test or a mile run or whatever you're doing. I have a cafeteria that I teach PA in, and buddy, you guys have beautiful yards and tracks and all that. And when I see my kids, jogging around those cafeteria tables and they're struggling on the third and the fourth lap, well, you know what? Something has to click where you're like, what can I do? You know, because they're not getting the support nor the help when they're struggling in certain ways that they are. So that's also part of the reason I see, that's why we teach physical education. You know, this is not gym, this is serious. And, you think about the long-term ramifications of heart disease and stroke, and it goes on and on and on. So, I could talk about it forever. I'm not going to talk any more about it. Because I don't want to monopolize any type of conversation with this, but this is something that if you are you're going to be faced with this every single class, it seems like, where there's the kids who struggle in that regard.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of what Michael just said, I think at the elementary and middle school level, I think a lot of it is on the parents of the students, or obviously their kids. I think once they reach the high school level, the kids end up obviously becoming more independent. And once you hit 16, obviously you get your driver's license and, you can pretty much do not anything you want, but you have a lot more independence and you kind of decide what you eat. It's almost like, obviously a lot of people still, or a lot of kids still eat dinner at home and things like that. But for them to learn the correct diet in a health class or a phys ed class is 100% key.
Yeah, well said, Jay. Derek here again. This is an interesting article for sure. And listening to everyone speak before, everyone has a different, feeling when they read it, of course. Everyone has a different background there. But I think from my perspective and just the society that we've created in the States and the health trends over time, we constantly see in pop culture, we see comedians and movies that are constantly marginalizing people who are bigger, and that health has a specific image. And we talk about the specific article that we read here, weight bias and grading among middle and high school teachers, that is trickled down into education. And we have students that may look a certain way, and we're taught, just like the movie The Nutty Professor, we're not going to get way off topic here, but the guy, he lives two different lives when throughout that movie, and we're taught that just because a student looks a certain way, they can only amount to so much, especially in the topics of health, fitness, nutrition. I'm also a big foodie myself, Michael. Love to hear that. I think it's a huge, definitely a big topic within our profession as well. So just by saying that, I think this is an extremely important topic. I think when we talk about social justice issues, I think this is definitely one we should include. And I think as educators, I think we have 50 things to do and only one thing to do amount of time, but we definitely need to prioritize ensuring that all students are seen as equal and treated as equal. And this is definitely one of those categories that sometimes fall by the wayside.
A lot of good points made already. I kept trying to jump in, and every time I tried to jump in, someone beat me to it. First, I wanted to jump in, and I've said it before, and some of you who've been in classes with me have heard me say it, and Dr. Seymour, you're probably sick of hearing me say it, but I'm going to say it again. The use of BMI in schools is silly. the fact that we put a number, a hard cutoff on a student, say, if you meet this number, you're obese. It's silly. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help these students. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'8". I'm 320 pounds. If you look strictly at the numbers, I am morbidly obese. I am at the top of the charts. But I'm very athletic. I've been a football player, and I've known many large people. I've known people that are bigger than me, shorter than me, but wider than me, that have been extremely athletic. And to call someone like that obese, it's silly. It's you're trivializing. I don't know. You're putting a hard cutoff. You're putting a number on something that's so much more complex than just a chart. That's something that I don't agree with, and that I'll never agree with. There's other ways that you can, you know, test someone's overall health, overall fitness level, that I don't think that needs to be included. I was a professional athlete. Thank you, Derek. But even still, you know, it doesn't change much. There's plenty of people. I go to the gym every other day, and I see large people there. That would probably be obese by the numbers, that I have no doubt are much more, you know, physically competent. They're probably better movers than a lot of other people, a lot of smaller people that I see. So that's one big thing that I kind of wanted to jump on, that you talked about, Justin, at the beginning, that I didn't really get a chance to talk about. Michael, you were talking about nutrition in classes, and I'm a huge proponent of, you know, incorporating nutrition in health and phys ed. I think that's such an important and overlooked part of the overall picture, that, you know, the overall physical education circle. And I think it's something that, you know, administration need, you know, administration and just us as physical educators need to put a, you know, a bigger, we need to keep an eye on it more, because like you said, it's so easy to go to McDonald's. It's so easy to go to Burger King. And these fast food chains, they're not going anywhere. They're popping up every day. So it's so easy to go to, you know, a McDonald's, a Burger King, a Chick-fil-A, any of these places and grab a 10-piece McNugget for, what was it, at Burger King, $1.49. But it's also, it's cheaper. And a lot of these, I remember in this, in our article that we read, I can't remember exactly where it was. They were talking about, circle 1, 2, and 3, where the circle 1 being closest to, you know, the inner cities, places with more poverty, and it's a lot harder to find fresh produce there, but if we can teach students, you know, that it's still, even if you can't necessarily get fresh produce, it's still possible to eat relatively healthy. I think that's such an important part of health and phys ed that, you know, we can't overlook it anymore. So yeah, a lot of great points being made. Good job, guys.
I also think that schools should be providing like better, you know, nutrition if there is free lunch. Like they're kind of setting the example, and how are we supposed to teach like real health, you know, information to students, like if they're getting trash from the school. And I would say that food deserts are very real. When you have to travel, you know, 15 miles to get to a place where you can utilize, where you can buy fresh produce, like that's a problem. That's a societal problem. And I think possibly schools can be teaching, you know, how to farm, you know, like we have often the space to do it. And, you know, I think it could be a part of, it could be implemented into specials, or, you know, maybe taken out of 5 minutes of each class to be another special, because it's physical.
That was a good point you made, Elizabeth, about the school lunches as well. It's something that I didn't even think to bring up. A lot of the times, you know, I remember back when I was in school, your school lunch was a rectangular piece of pizza with two pieces of pepperoni, a whole you know, thing full of ranch, chocolate milk, and you know, you're good to go on to the next one. So I think that we have come a long way in regards to school lunches and their, you know, the health and nutrients that go into them. But one thing I'll say too is I'm a proponent that, you know, even if a student's parents, you know, meet that threshold for, you know, if they can't get a free or reduced lunch because, you know, the parents make too much money, I don't think that that should necessarily, you know, I don't think that should exist. I think that, you know, parents are busy too. Some parents work overnights. It's not always feasible. It's not always, you know, viable to have a parent up every morning making a kid a lunch. So I think that the free lunches, especially a free nutritious lunch, you know, should be available to everyone, regardless of, you know, how much money a parent makes. So that was a good point that you brought up as well, Elizabeth.
Good stuff, folks. We're coming close to time here. So really some interesting byproducts of this discussion about how we can address health and wellness from a lot of different angles. I appreciate that. So being, again, respectful of time, let's kind of come to a close. And I have, you know, one or two more questions for you. What did you, first off, for anybody who wants to chime in, not everybody, feel free, just a couple people. And actually, before I begin, there are many today from our guests that have shared some personal stories and anguish about their issues that they've experienced in physical education regarding being overweight or obese. And thank you for sharing that and being brave to do so in your vulnerability. That means a lot. So thank you. So my questions to all of you are, what did you think of some of the biases of the PE teachers and how they reported, you know, how they may feel about how they look at children that may be considered overweight? And then the last, well, let's just start with that as we wrap up. What did you think about that?
I think that it's, you know, completely ridiculous. I feel like society sets that stigma for people to think that way. You know, kind of what I was saying in my discussion before, it's like, you hear what other people say or you see what other people are doing and you kind of just hop on that, you know, that mindset. And so, you know, it's like the washout phase, like kind of where you're just like, I'm done, you know, and you're just going to do what everyone else around you is doing just to kind of fit in. And, you know, ultimately you don't know how many people you're really going to be hurting when you say stuff or do stuff like that. And, you know, people, they might not show it on the outside, you know, they might just brush it off when in front of you, but in the inside, you can be deteriorating them, you know, mentally and emotionally. And so, you know, there's just so much that goes with it. And I think the fact that some teachers judge you on the way you look goes against all morals of a teacher. You know, teachers are supposed to be there to support you and help you and get you through difficult times. And when you're judging a student on how they look because of maybe factors they can't control, now I feel like you're going against all the morals of a teacher.
Yeah, well said, Justin. And building off of that, for all teachers, judging any student based on how they look is bad, but especially for physical educators, because our job is to help these students and make them physical literate and want to live a healthy lifestyle. So for us to be judging these kids based on how they look is completely outrageous.
That's a good point, Brandon. It's almost counterintuitive given some of the ideals of physical education, right? But we, as Derek pointed out, we have an embodiment problem, not only in physical education, but perhaps in society as a whole. You know, what I find really interesting, and again, asking you that same question, is how PE teachers in our study, and Dr. Finn and I, when we conducted this study, we found that PE teachers reported that, oh, they could understand how other PE teachers may have bias, but they themselves do not. That sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? Not only from the context of social justice concerns when it comes to people who are overweight or perhaps perceived to be, but in other social justice strands as well, where we are almost in denial that we may have bias embedded within. That's an important point to consider. In order for us to move forward when it comes to being culturally responsive, and again, I use the term culturally responsive to be much broader than our ethnicities and backgrounds and the colors of our skin. In order for us to be in tune with being culturally responsive, we must be able to first recognize our privileges, challenges, and perhaps our bias. That's important. Any parting words or thoughts as I offer that by anyone?
One more thing I just wanted to add, and it's still, you know, our mantra that we developed in assessment in PE. As we read through this article, you know, these professionals weren't practicing, you know, assessment with great power comes great responsibility. And what I mean by that is, you know, setting some of those privileges aside or setting some of those underlying experiences aside and ensuring that each student has an equal opportunity to education, you know, and that's part of the profession and how far we've come and even how far we have to go still is challenging the way we assess and putting those prerequisite skills, you know, out of the way and just ensuring that everyone is treated equally, no matter what they look like. And that definitely also includes their weight, which definitely goes based on society by the wayside at most times. So that's just the last thing I'll point out there.
Thank you, Derek. And, you know, again, to my co-researcher, Dr. Finn, when we conducted this study, a key point that we bring up in the conclusion that I think really speaks to what Derek kind of wraps up and concludes with, and that is that while there are some signs that we've made progress with diversity in education and in physical education, some signs, perhaps improvement, some, weight stigma remains a pervasive issue. Now, as it was decades earlier, we have not made much progress there. No question about it. So something to wrap up with when it comes to some of the findings from this study. So with that, on behalf of New York State AFERD and all of our members, we'd like to thank the graduate students from Canisius College for joining us this evening to share their thoughts and perspectives. This session will be posted on the New York State AFERD website as the 7th episode on our podcast channel. Stay tuned for new and exciting episodes scheduled to be released later in the summer. Please visit us on newyorkstateaford.org, social media handles at New York State AFERD, or give us a ring at 315-823-1015 for more information. And do not forget, please mark your calendars for our return to the Turning Stone for our state conference on November 18th through to the 21st, coming up this calendar year 2021. Thank you, everybody. Great job.